Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Shane Kennedy, a youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
There's something I want to confess this morning. Sometimes as a parent, I can be guilty of allowing my children to have too much screen time, too much time in front of the TV. And I don't think I'm the only parent guilty of this. Sometimes when you're tired or you're needing a break, it can be really easy and convenient just to allow your kids to watch a few extra shows so that you can have some downtime. And we try to choose good shows for our kids. We try to use educational shows, shows that promote good values, that are age appropriate. But there's been some indications lately that maybe our kids are getting just a little too much screen time. Dean, he's only 4 years old, and he goes to a preschool, and his cousin goes to the same preschool, and they're not in the same class, but they'll see each other on the playground and in the bathroom, and one of the teachers let me in on a conversation she overheard Dean and his cousin having. Apparently, Dean went up to his cousin, and he asked him, has your family gotten Paramount Plus yet? So the topic of conversation for my four-year-old is about what streaming services, TV streaming services, his cousin has, and his cousin didn't know what he was talking about, but it's probably not a good sign that my son knows the names of the different TV streaming services. So we may have a problem. My kids may be having a little too much screen time, and we definitely realize that the amount of screen time they have, it affects their attitudes and their behavior, that if they get too much screen time, they can be grumpier, they could be less patient, less cooperative. So we try as good parents, as best we can, to monitor their screen time because we know too much could have a negative effect on them. Well, if I'm being honest, it is not just my kids' screen time that needs to be monitored. Probably I need to look at my own screen time as well. That it's not just children or young minds that could be affected by how much time we spend on a screen, but for me as well, that how much time I spend looking at a screen and the content that I take in, it has an effect on me, and it has an effect on my heart and my mind, and I need to be aware of that. Well, Jeremy kicked off a sermon series last week that we're going to continue this morning called Redeem the Screen, and we're going to talk about our interaction with the screens in our pockets and the screens in our homes, and as followers of Jesus, how can we allow God to have control over those parts of our lives? How can we surrender our screen time to Jesus and use it for his purposes rather than letting it be a distraction or a hindrance from God? I know this is something that's going to be helpful to me this morning. I hope it's going to be helpful to you as we continue this conversation. But let's continue to worship. Thank you, Wendell. Well, if you're like me, you probably have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with the screen in your pocket, with your smartphone. It is amazing what our smartphones are capable of. I don't think I can fully comprehend the technology I have access to in my pocket. They make life more convenient in many ways. They give us access to endless information. They allow us to communicate and connect to people in ways that was once impossible. They're amazingly entertaining. But yeah, there's a lot of things to love about our devices. But there's some negatives as well, right? They can become very consuming. They're so good at capturing our attention that sometimes they can become a distraction from things that really do matter. Although they can connect us with others, we know they can do the opposite as well, that they can disconnect us from people, that they can even isolate us. And with the amount of information and messages that we can receive through these devices, they also have the potential to confuse us, to disorient us, to maybe even deceive us. But no doubt screens are a big part of our world, and they're not going away, and they have captured our attention. Here's just a few statistics to give you an idea of how much they have captured our attention. One study shows that 80% of Americans check their phones within the first 10 minutes of waking up. Maybe that applies to you, maybe it doesn't. But for many, it's the first thing you see when you wake up, and it may be the last thing that you look at before you go to bed. There was an interesting article in the New York Times called The Rise of the Toilet Texter. Don't you want to read that article? It says that 75% of Americans will use their smartphones in the bathroom. And a more surprising statistic is that 25% of Americans will not go to the bathroom unless they have their device. I don't know if that's true about you. I'm not going to make anyone raise your hands this morning, but you know who you are. So on average this year, Americans, just an individual American, they will check their phone 344 times a day. That's once every 4 minutes. I don't know if that's shocking to you, if that seems low to you. That means if you are true to the average just during the sermon, you may check your phone 6 or 7 times. I'm not watching. It's okay. About the time that we spend on our phones, on average this year, that we will spend, the average American will spend about 2 hours and 54 minutes a day on their devices. And if you add that up over a year, that means an individual person will spend a month and a half or 44 days of their time looking at a screen. That's kind of shocking. And if some of you know how much time you spend on a screen, yours may be more or less than that average. That's a lot of time that we spend looking at our phones. Nearly half of Americans admit to feeling addicted to their phones. I don't know if you would say that about yourself or not. And nearly half also say that their phone is their most valuable possession. Their phone is their most valuable possession. Well, my goal this morning as I share these statistics with you, my goal is not to just make you feel really guilty about how much screen time you have, because if I was really honest, many of these statistics are true about myself. I may take my phone in the bathroom. My hope is that we can become more aware of the way our screens have captured our attentions, and that also that we can evaluate and discern as followers of Jesus, how are my screens affecting me? How are they affecting my mind, and how are they affecting my heart? And then also, how do I surrender this part of my life to Jesus and to his kingdom purposes? So that's what we're looking at as we go through this series. I think we need to ask ourselves evaluating questions like, does my screen time, is it helping me connect more with others? Or is it disconnecting me and causing me to disengage in my relationships? Does it help serve my purposes as a follower of Jesus? Or is it rather shaping my purposes or distracting me from my purposes? Am I the master over this tool, or has this tool mastered me? Some of those questions are uncomfortable questions for us to answer. Well, Jeremy looked at a couple verses in Romans last week that I actually want to revisit, because I feel like they are so helpful in kind of providing the framework for this conversation, kind of the starting point for this conversation. They're in Romans chapter 12. They're the first two verses. I want to start in verse 1. Paul's writing to Christians in Rome, and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So Jeremy looked at this verse last week and talked about how Paul is calling us to give our lives to God, to surrender our lives as living sacrifices, to offer our body as living sacrifices. And that's not the normal state of sacrifices. Normally, sacrifices are dead, but he talks about a living sacrifice. So I think Paul is not just saying that we should be willing to die for Jesus, but he's saying we should give our every day to Jesus, that we should be willing to live for him and give every area and every corner of our life to God as a form of worship to him, that that's how we worship him. And notice the motivation that Paul gives as to why we should honor God with our lives. He says we do this in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy. So because of God's great love and his grace that he's expressed to us through Jesus, we in turn willingly and eagerly say, I want to give my life to you because you are good, because of your great love, because of your great mercy. That's our motivation. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say in view of God's wrath, or in view of God's harshness, or in view of God's anger. He doesn't describe God as this angry God that's just looking to punish us, or that we better get our lives in line or else. That's not what he gives us as motivation. I don't know if you've ever experienced that motivation before, maybe even in church, people trying to motivate you with guilt or fear. Especially sometimes when it comes to area in our lives, kind of like this conversation with screens, when it talks about behavior modification, of changing our behavior. Sometimes in the past, the church, we've maybe been guilty of trying to motivate people with fear and guilt by making people feel scared or making people feel guilty. And maybe when you were growing up, it wasn't screens that people were warning you about. Maybe it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll that you were being warned about. And they were saying, you better not look at these things, you better not listen to these things or participate in these activities, because God's watching, so you better get your life right. The problem with fear and guilt is they really aren't that good of motivators. If someone's trying to make you feel guilty or making you feel scared and trying to change your behavior in that way, it actually usually doesn't work. A lot of times, those methods, sometimes they can result in rebellion of the person pushing back on those things you're telling them not to do and doing them anyways. Or even worse, it could result in the spirit of self-righteousness or legalism, that it can cause us to have this spirit of judgment towards others. Well, I don't do those things like them, and so I'm holier than them, or I look down on them because of that. So fear and guilt really aren't great motivators. So our goal in this series is, I'm not trying to make you feel really guilty about the time we spend on our technology, but rather, I hope, like Paul, I want to remind you of God's love and goodness and grace. And because of those things, let's let those things shape our lives. Let's in turn offer our lives back to God because he is so good, and trust him with every part of our life. That's what Paul's trying to do here. He's reminding us of God's mercy, of his love. And he's saying, because of those things, in view of God's mercy, let's have a conversation about our lives and every part of our lives, even some of those parts of our lives that maybe sometimes it's hard to trust God with, those parts of our lives that sometimes when we talk about, we get a little defensive. Paul says, let's look at those and see how we can offer every part of us to God and let his love and mercy shape us. So God's mercy has really been what Paul has been focused on all of Romans up to this point, leading up to Romans 12. If you kind of do a quick overview of the book or just kind of hit the highlights, back in Romans 3, Paul talks about how we've all sinned and fallen short, that we're all in need of God's grace, of his healing of our brokenness. As you get to Romans 6, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then later in Romans 8, he reminds us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have this amazing forgiveness that Jesus' sacrifice covers over our sin. And then there's this really powerful statement he makes about God's love in Romans 8, 38 and 39. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So leading up to chapter 12, Paul's been talking about the great mercy of God expressed through Jesus, how he saved us from sin, how he's forgiven us, and about this unfailing love. And he says, this is the reason we give our lives to God, because he loves us so much, because he gave us this undeserved forgiveness, so we can trust him with our lives because he is good. So in view of God's mercy, offer your lives as living sacrifices. For the record, this is how we would begin the conversation of lots of different areas of our life, especially difficult conversations. If we were going to talk this morning about how we use our money, if we were going to talk about how we honor God in our marriages this morning, if we were going to talk about our politics this morning, this is the starting place, that we, in view of God's mercy, we offer every part of our life to God. We let his love and mercy shape every part of our life. So I think this is a great starting place for us when it comes to our technology, when it comes to the time we spend looking at a screen. How can we even offer that to God? Because he's so good and because he loves us. I really love how Romans 12, 1 and 2 reads in the Message paraphrase. This is what it says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he runs from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I love the way it chose to paraphrase that verse. But yeah, it talks about just our everyday life, and it lists off your sleeping, eating, going to work. We could add in there your screen time life to offer that to God, to surrender it to him and say, God, this is yours. That the time I spend on this isn't just my time. This isn't just for my enjoyment or for my downtime. But God, I want to surrender this to you and say, God, how can I use this for your glory, for your purposes, and not just use it for me? How can we surrender that to him? In verse 2, it talks about this idea, and Jeremy talked about this, of not conforming to the pattern of this world, to not just adopt the culture's way of thinking about things, but rather be transformed. Let God shape your thinking so that you can know and participate in God's will for your life. I think it's interesting that Paul draws attention to our minds, because I really think honoring God with our lives, a lot of it starts in our minds, right? Because what we think matters, because what we think shapes our actions, it shapes what we do and ultimately shapes our lives. So we need to pay attention to what we're thinking. And when you think about what you think about, often our thinking is shaped by what we're focused on, what we expose our minds to, where we place our attention. And so we need to think about, man, if I'm looking at my screen a lot and I'm looking at this content, how is that shaping my thinking? Is it helping me be transformed? Is it helping me to have thoughts that reflect God's thoughts? Or is it conforming me to think more like the culture around me? So the amount of time you spend on your screen and what you spend looking at, is it conforming you or is it transforming you? And the danger of letting it conform you is that you could miss out on God's will for your life. You can miss out on what he wants to do in you and through you. You know, when I think about the time that I spend on my phone or looking at my TV, the things I look at, I don't feel like they're evil. I don't think they're against God. They're not that bad of things, I don't think. But a greater struggle for me is just the time spent on my screen. A lot of it's just kind of meaningless. It's just kind of mindless. Like it's things that don't have that much worth, and they tend to take up a lot of time. So one thing I've been convicted of, just as I've been preparing for the sermon, is, man, I don't want to miss out on God's will for my life because I'm distracted by things that just don't matter that much. So we got to be careful with our devices and with our screens, that we don't get so distracted that we can't hear the voice of God in our lives. Man, I would hate to miss out on that. Well, as we think about God's will for our lives, as we think about his purpose for us, I can't help but think about another passage, and Wendell read this passage from Matthew earlier. I'm going to read the Mark version of it this morning. It's in Mark 12, 29 through 31. And Jesus, he's being questioned by one of the Jewish religious leaders, one of these experts in God's word and scripture. And the person asks, okay, out of all of scripture, out of all of what God said, God's word, what's most important? What's the thing we really need to know? What's the thing we need to focus on? And to me, I really want to know the answer that Jesus has for that question. That's helpful to me to make clear to me what is most important. What is the thing that should be my main focus or my purpose? And this is how Jesus responds. This is Mark 12, 29 through 31. He says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So what Jesus says is most important, what he says should be the purpose of our lives, is one, to love God, the one who has loved us perfectly, the one who has given his son for us, to love him with your whole self, and to love your neighbor, to love the people around you. To me, I think these commands, these are a great filter for our lives, for all that we do, to decide, are we lining up with the purpose God has for me? and they're a great filter for how we use our technology. That the time I spend on my screen, the time I spend using my devices, is it helping me connect with the God who loves me? Or is it causing me to disengage with him? Is it helping me do good and bless other people and help them know the love of Christ? Or is it disconnecting me from the people around me? Is it helping me live my God-given purpose, or is it distracting me from it? So yeah, that's a great filter for all that we do in life, but all we do on our devices, is it helping me love God? Is it helping me love others? As I evaluate my screen time, I am convicted. And this is a dangerous thing to admit, because I assume my wife is watching and she can hold me accountable to these things. But as I spend time scrolling on the news feed, on social media, or I love to play, there's a chess app, I like to play chess on there, that takes a lot of my time. Or as I look at the latest sports news, if I'm honest, there's a lot of times that my phone has caused me to not be fully present with my children or with my wife. It's caused me to disengage from the people that God's placed in my life that I really need to love. It's caused me to miss out on some of those purposes. Or I think about on a Sunday afternoon in the fall, flipping between football games, is that the best use of my time? Like, am I giving too much time to things that maybe aren't the most important? I don't want my phone to cause me to miss out on what God is doing in the world around me, on how he wants to use me in the lives of people around me, how he wants me to show them his love, or how he wants to work in me, in my heart, and in my soul. Man, I would hate if anything got in the way of that. During my time as a youth minister, I often learn from my students, and many times they are an encouragement to my faith, to watch them try to live out their faith in their lives. And many of my students, they've grown up with technology just being a part of their life, even more so than I have. Many of them were born after the smartphone was created, or these devices have been a part of their life, their whole lives. And I admire some of the ways my students have really tried to surrender those parts of their lives to God. When we go to our summer camps each year at Oklahoma Christian University, one of the things we require when we get to camp is we take up all the students' phones. And I bring a lockbox with me, and once we get off the van, I'm like, okay, I need everyone's phones and devices, and they drop them in there, and I lock the box, and I keep it in my room for the week and give it back to them at the end. And some of the students, they actually look forward to that time. It's actually kind of freeing to them to unplug and to not have it there with them, and they really enjoy it. Some of them, it's a little more of a challenge. I wonder how some of you adults would do if I took up your phone for a week, if you'd be okay with that. But I tell them when they give me their phone, I say, turn off your phone so you can have some battery at the end of the week, and also so I'm not having to hear notifications and messages you're getting all during the day on there. And there was one time, one of the phones didn't get turned off, and there were alarms just going off all the time, and we're having to open the box up and find which phone it is and turn the alarm off, and me and my wife are kind of getting annoyed at this. Like, why did this kid not turn his phone off and set all these alarms? What are all these alarms for? And then I started noticing there was his messages on his alarms of like what the alarms were for, why he set these alarms. And one of the alarms said, call grandpa. Another alarm said, pray. Another alarm said, read devotional on your Bible app. And I was still annoyed at the alarms, but I admired this kid so much. It's like he's trying to use his phone as best as he can to honor God, to help him fill his purposes, to love others and to love God. So I feel like that's something that he encouraged me in that. And that may seem like small things to you, but I don't know, isn't faithfulness to God, isn't it a lot of times just being faithful to God in the small things? Like the small everyday things, the things we do with our time, the choices we make in the small everyday moments, isn't that what faithfulness looks like? So that was someone that was an encouragement to me, just a simple way that he was trying to use his phone to help him live out his God-given purposes. All right, I want to get really practical with you. This may be a little challenging. Probably most of us never intended for our screens to take up the amount of time that they've started to take up in our lives, or to capture the attention, the amount of attention they've captured in our lives. It maybe just kind of snuck up on you as the world changed and technology changed and it changed fast. It's like all of a sudden this is a big part of my life and it's taking up a lot of my attention. And maybe you felt kind of stuck in certain habits or patterns that you feel like, man, I know I need to spend less time, or I know that this isn't the most meaningful time, but it's hard to change, and I just feel stuck in this. It's taking more and more of my focus. But if you're like me, you feel convicted, you want to honestly evaluate the time that you're spending on your screens, and you want to surrender the screen to God to be used for his purposes, here's some practical steps that you can take, okay? I think one of the first things we can do is just be aware of how much time we are spending on our screens, is to actually evaluate and to know, be honest with yourself, how much time are you spending on your screen? And one thing that's really cool about these devices, if you have an iPhone, I know on settings, you could scroll down just a little bit, I think it's the 9th or 10th thing on the list, it says screen time, and you can click on screen time, and it will tell you how much time you're spending on your phone. And it will tell you on average how much you're spending each day this week, and how does that compare to previous weeks, and you could even see the breakdown of what apps you're spending your time on, which one's consuming your most time. I encourage you to look at that. Some of you may be scared to look at it. I don't want to know. I encourage you to look at it and be honest with yourself. How much time are you spending on your screen? And for some of you, the phone isn't the screen that captures your most attention. Some of you, it's the TV. Maybe it's the laptop. It's the Kindle or the iPad. Whatever it is, find a way to evaluate, how am I spending my time on this screen? And am I satisfied with the amount of time I'm spending it? What effect is it having on my heart and my mind and on my relationship with God? So evaluate your screen time. And then a second thing I'm going to challenge you to do, it is a challenge that I'm going to give you, and this is something you could get together as a family and decide on doing, or maybe you can get with your spouse and commit to doing together, or just as an individual decide to do this. But I'm going to challenge you sometime this week to do a screen fast, to set a certain time period that you're going to try to do without screens. And this can look different ways. You can decide what it's going to look like for you. Maybe you can decide to do, I want to do a 24-hour screen fast. Maybe you say, let's do technology-free Tuesdays, and on Tuesdays I'm going to try to not look at my screens. And obviously we're not going to try to be legalistic about this, but just try to do it in a way that you're aware of how much time you're looking at your screen, and you're wanting to say, you know what, maybe I need a break for that to make sure that I have it in proper perspective, that God is my main focus. So maybe you do a 24-hour screen fast, and maybe you fill that time as a family. Maybe you connect as a family and play board games together. Maybe the time you normally be on your screen, say, hey, let's go serve together. Let's go serve a meal at Faith Mission or Faith Refuge, or let's go bless our neighbors in some way. But yeah, just decide as a family, are you some way to do a screen fast. Another way you could do the screen fast is you can say, for the first and last hour of the day, I don't want to look at my screen. And this is the idea of, you know what, the first thing I do in the day and the last thing I do in the day, I want to spend that focusing on God. So maybe you place that time with some time in prayer, some time in God's word. So rather than it being your phone that you're looking at, saying the first thing I do and the last thing I do, I want to spend with God. So that's another way you could do it. But yeah, I encourage you to get together as a family to decide what you want to do. And I would encourage you, don't let this be something that you force on your family, but let each person decide for themselves whether or not they want to participate. Don't just tell your kids you have to do this, or tell your spouse you have to do this, but rather let them decide and make the commitment that I'm willing to do a screen fast. And honestly, teens and kids, you may have to take the lead on this. Like, your parents may be more resistant than you are, and you may have to say, let's really try to do this and set the example, maybe. But yeah, decide on a time that y'all want to purposely fast from your screens. I encourage you, think about the way we spend our time. Think about the way we spend our time on our screens, and how can I surrender this to Jesus? How can I, in view of God's mercy, offer this part of my life and say, God, how can I use this for you and your purposes? Let me end in prayer, and then I'll sit down. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the gifts of technology that you give us and the ways that they do benefit our lives and that they can bless us, and that, God, technology is meant to be for our good. So, God, help us to always evaluate whether or not it is being used for our good. Help us to put it in proper position in our lives. Help it never to take the thing that captures our attention the most. God, I pray that we may want to use our devices, our screens, for your purposes, for the good of others, for loving others, and for loving you. God, I pray that we don't just conform to the way the rest of our culture uses these devices, but Lord, I pray that we can be transformed, that we can think differently, and that we can want to be focused on your will and your purposes for us above all things. God, help us, as I know many of us feel stuck in habits and patterns, and it's hard to change. God, free us as we know that you can give us freedom. Heal us as you know you can heal our brokenness, and help us to set new patterns and new ways of life. God, we love you, and we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.